Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
I believe every time we step into the church and we're coming and we're expecting to hear something from God, here's what I believe. I believe God wants to speak something directly to your heart. I believe he wants you to leave a different way than the way you came in. You may have came in great, but he wants you to leave even greater. You may have came in feeling beat up. He wants you to feel lifted up. You may have come in just wondering, like, how am I going to do life anymore? Here's what he wants you to know, that when you leave, you're going to know how to do life. And so tonight, I believe this. I believe this word is going to speak to you. But here's how it's going to speak to you. If you apply what God tells you and you do what God says, not only it'll speak to you, you'll see it in your life. How many want increase in your life? Raise your hand. Not one of us in this place would be like, no, Pastor, I don't want no increase. I'm good where I'm at. You can be good where you're at. I'll take your increase. Like, if you don't want it here, I'm sure there's many people that want it. But as I was studying and I was praying and spending some time with the Lord, God gave me a word. And God dropped something in my heart. And I'm going to preach about that tonight. Because I believe if you get this, it will change your life. And this is an area that I've had to wrestle with God. Anybody got areas in your life where you got to wrestle with God? Okay, so we're all together here tonight, right? And this was an area where I had to wrestle with God in it, and because I like to hold on to things. Does anybody like to hold on to things in here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, you just like to hold on to things. You have that death grip. You don't want to let go of what you're holding on. Why? Because you can control it. And as I was in worship, a few weeks ago, I was in worship, and God began to speak to me, and God began to share with me a scripture and the word of God. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. And before I read the scripture, I kind of want to just kind of spill out what God gave me. And God said, listen, this is a year of increase, right, church? And we're expecting increase in our life, right? Now, I want to make sure that we all are ready for this. How many are really expecting increase in your life? No one's expecting decrease, right? But we're expecting increase. And I was sitting there in worship, and God was just dropping some things in my heart and speaking to me about some things. And he said, I want you to preach a message about increase. And I was like, God, we're doing increase on Sunday mornings. We've done increase throughout the years. But God said, I want you to share an angle that I want you to realize people need to get. And I know that we hear messages about increase, and they're phenomenal messages, and God is doing great things in our life already. I know I've read testimonies of increase and have heard people talk about the increase they're receiving. Has anybody received increase yet in your life out there? Just wave at me. Okay, so some of us have. And God said to me so clear, he said, I know you're expecting increase, but what are you willing to release? I know you want the increase in your life. But what are you holding on to? What is it that you're willing to release in order to receive the increase? And I begin to talk to God like, well, God, I felt like I've done this before. I've been doing this. I'm doing it now. And he said, yes, you are. But I need you to explain this to the people. I need them to get this because we are in a year of increase. But yet we want increase, but we just want it to happen the way we think it should happen. And God's saying, what do you have in your hand tonight that you're willing to release to say, God, where's my increase? Now, I'm not talking about money. Please don't think he's going to be a prosperity talk about money. No, but I'm talking about there are things in your life that you've been holding on too long, that God has been telling you and speaking to you about to release so that he can give you more. Picture this. What if I had all these things in my hand right now? My arms were full. I had all this stuff in my hands, and it's just loaded up, and you just kept coming and dropping things on top. Eventually, what's going to happen is what? They're going to fall off. But if I begin to throw things out that I no longer need anymore, that I need to release, now I can receive the more that God wants to give me. And so tonight I want to look at a story in 1 Kings chapter 17 of a woman who had just a little in her hand, but then yet God did something crazy with it. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read from verses 10 to 16. I'll be reading a New Living Translation. It says this. So he went to Zarephath, As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" And she was going to get it. He called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. My son and I will what? So I have so much in my hand, just a little bit. I'm not preparing for increase. I'm preparing to die. I only have just these sticks and a little bit of oil, and I don't have anything, and it's just enough to have flour. I don't have enough to do what I know you're going to ask me to do or what I think you may ask me to do. Matter of fact, here's the deal, man. I'm just preparing my last meal because my son and I are going to enjoy it, but then we're going to die, and our life's going to end. But how many love God? I love this. Because the next, watch this. It says this. "I just gathered a few sticks to cook the last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." Okay. "Go ahead and do just what you've said. But make a little bread for me first." Wait a minute. What about my son and I? I just said I have enough to make enough that we're going to eat, but then we're going to die. But now you're asking me to make you bread first? Now, reality, we could think, man, that was a stingy little part. Like, you're not thinking about other people, you're just thinking about yourself. But that's not the case in this. Because there was a word given by God, and when God gives you a word and you walk in obedience, watch what God does. And I challenge you, and I submit this question to you tonight. What is God speaking to you about what you need to release in order to get increase? You might say, "Pastor, I don't have much. I don't have anything, but yet you have a little bit that God says, if you give me a little bit, watch what I can do. Watch what I can do." It's faith like a mustard seed, right? That's a small thing. But then what does the verse say? What does God can do? He can move mountains with it. With just a little bit. So God can take our little bit and multiply it to something much more than we ever thought it could be. Continue the story. It says this. But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said. But make me a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare for a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Watch this. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said. She did as Elijah what? And she said, Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord promised. I want you to hear something out of this story. God gives Elijah a word. Elijah then goes and speaks the word. Now, Elijah could have not spoken the word, and this story could have went a whole different way. But because God gave this word, and Elijah got this word, and Elijah went and spoke this word, and he was obedient to what God was asking, she became obedient to what the Lord said. At times, our obedience will help others become obedient. At times, we may not see it. We may not even feel it, but at times our obedience will show other people how we're being obedient, and they'll say, "Man, I need to start being obedient." It's kind of like this. I had my grandkids the other day, and my Josiah, who's 3, was doing something really crazy, and I'm sorry, he's 4 now, and my Elijah, who's 2, was trying to do something even more crazy. And so it was like Elijah was doing this crazy thing, and Josiah was doing a crazy thing, and then they had this great idea, "Let's get Pop-Pop." They call me Pop-Pop, not Papa. I'm too young for that. So they grabbed their Disney swords, the little Star Wars swords, And they go in the corner together, and here's what they're, I can just feel what they're saying. Okay, let's put the sword up, and let's get Pop-Pop when he turns his back. So I'm sitting there, and then I get up, and I turn around, and I walk away to get something, and all of a sudden, I hear these little feet in the kitchen going. And I turn around, and they just said, whack, 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 whack. They start whacking me. I'm like, wait a minute, stop. And Josiah told me to do it. And then Elijah says, and Josiah's like, I told you Pop-Pop's gonna get mad. You shouldn't have done that. And Elijah's like, looking at him like, you're not telling the truth. And I said, which one of you did it? And they're both pointing to each other. Whose idea was it? Both pointing to each other's. Something I realized. I said, did you do this? And Josiah said, I'm sorry, Pop-Pop. And he went to hug me. And I said, next time, when Pop-Pop tells you not to play with those things and swing at him, you need to be obedient. This kid goes, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? How am I going to say no to that? And I'm like, yes, but you still need to be obedient. So later on, time goes, and I said, stay out of those candies. Don't get in those. You need to ask your mom first. Did you ask your mom? He looks at me and goes, I said, you didn't ask your mom, did you? He goes, no, Papa, I didn't. I said, okay, go ask your mom first. Mom's like, no, it's too late. You're not having candy right now. But he learned something. He was obedient. Which then the next one comes up, Elijah walks up and points, and I'm like, did you ask your mom? He goes, he just stormed off. Seeing that man reminded me of my oldest son, Nicholas. I was like, man, that is like Nick Jr. right there, and I'm gonna pray for this kid. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's a great kid. But I wanted you to get something, the obedience in that. And when he became obedient, his little brother saw it, and his little brother said, you know what? I better tell the truth too. And I explained to them, there's a greater reward when you're obedient, especially when God starts speaking to you guys. And I wanted to plant these seeds in their life at a very young age because I wanted it to not to be, oh, it's just a discipline, but I want you to learn something from this. When you're obedient, God gives you a great reward. And then I began to share with them different stories. And what I loved about this was, in this story, she was obedient. She could have said, man, Elijah, you're crazy. Like, this is all I got, man. Like, it's going to win a whole different way. Like, I'm not going to give you what I have left. How many of you know, and don't be honest with yourself, don't look at each other in this room, but how many know when you got your last bite of your burger, you don't want to give it up? Come on. Or your last French fry that's on that table, and you're watching to make sure no one comes and takes it. Why? Because that's your last thing to eat. I don't know about you guys, but I had to lock food up for a while because when I had teenagers, as they were growing, they ate more and more food. Anybody got teenagers in here? And all they did is a midnight snacking, and dad's stuff would be gone in the morning. So I had to start locking stuff up, but then they figured out how to get through all that. That's crazy. Because I didn't want to give up that last meal. How many of you have really been in that place where I don't want to give up that last dollar I got? Come on. Don't y'all look at me like that. No, you're crazy. Dad, can I borrow 10 bucks? No, I don't have it. You know you have it, but you don't want to give that last $10 you have in your pocket. Come on. Anybody? I see the hands out there like, yeah, I got you. Why? Because we want to hold on to things. But as you hold on to things, it doesn't multiply. I remember I was working at a church one time, and it wasn't this church, it was another church, and the leader there was holding on to a lot of things, and one day he got a revelation from God, and he said this, he goes, if I continue to hold, then I can't grow. He says, but if I learn to let go, then you can grow. So when you hold, you don't grow, but when you let go, you grow. And so I submit this question to you, and I challenge you with this tonight. I know God is going to speak to you about what it is in your life that you got to release so you could receive some increase. Maybe you've been holding on to a hurt too long. Maybe you've been holding on to some pain too long. Maybe you've been accepting something you should have never accepted, a diagnosis too long, and God's saying, release that to me so I can bring an increase in your life. Or maybe you're looking for a new job and you're holding on to But God's giving you now, you're not allowing God to multiply to help you get that new position. See, the Word of God says, be faithful in the little and I'll give you much what? Be faithful in the little, I'll give you much what? More. So when you're faithful with the little things, God can give you more. But in order to be faithful and get more, guess what? You have to be a heart of generosity and you have to be someone who's really to release some things. So God interrupts this whole thing. And she does exactly what is asked. And as she does what is asked, I'm going to kind of dive into the scripture tonight in each one of my points and explain some things that God's asking from us as well and what we can expect when we learn to increase. Matter of fact, write this down if you're taking notes. Increase doesn't start with when God sends more. It starts when you release what you already have in your hand. I'll say it again so you could write it down. Increase doesn't start when God sends more. It starts when you release what you already have in your hand. Let me put it this way. God can't increase what you don't release. God can't increase what you don't release. In other words, God wants to give you that increase, but what are you not willing to release? And God's saying, I need you to get into a position of releasing so that I can bring the increase. So there are things that we hold on to that we don't want to release because we're comfortable with it. We want to own it, but yet God's saying, release it so I can bring the increase. So my question to you tonight is this. What is in your hand that you're holding on to? And write this down. What is in your hand that you're holding on to that you need to release in order to see the increase that God wants to pour out in your life? Tonight I'm going to give you a few things about increase. And tonight, I believe if you receive these things and you learn to release, you can receive what God wants to give you. Number one is this, if you're taking notes, God moves in your empty, not your extra. God moves in your empty and not your extra. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Have you ever felt so emptied out in your life before where you just can't do anymore? Anybody? And I've realized something. When I feel empty in that place and I have nothing to give, that's where God comes in and begins to fill me up so that I can do what he wants me to do. In other words, I remember one time I was going to be preaching and I got sick. I wasn't feeling well. And this was at a previous church. And he had a rule, like, if you're not throwing up in a bucket, you're still preaching. I was like, okay. But I remember I wasn't feeling well, and I had the flu, and yet God said, I know you feel empty, but the minute you step up there and deliver what I'm telling you to deliver to the people, I'm going to fill you up. And in my emptiness, God showed up and filled me up and allowed me to minister the word. People got saved, people got healed, people got delivered, and God moved in that moment. Why? Because I was in my emptiness, and God said, let me fill you up so you could do what I want, need you to do. And what I want done to my people. I'll prove this to you. In 1 Kings chapter 17, 12, it says this. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I have a single piece of bread in my house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar. And a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering those few sticks to cook the last meal. And then my son and I will die. See, this woman was not operating from overflow. She was operating from a place of being empty. I don't have bread. I only have a handful, and I just have a little oil left. In her mind, it was over. In reality, this was the end. But notice something. God didn't wait until she had more. God didn't say, oh, she's got a lot. Let me send Elijah to say this word. God went to the place of where she was empty. So that he could fill her up. And that she can know that it's coming from God. And not from man. Because there's a time where you want to be filled up by words that people speak to you. And by what man says about you. Or how man encourages you. But God says, in your emptiness, let me fill you up. Let me pour into your life. Let me give you what I need to deposit. Because what I'm going to do is much more than what anyone can say to you. Much more than anyone could do for you. And notice this, God didn't wait till she had more. He stepped into her lack and he moved in her almost empty moment. Listen, people of God, I want you to get this. God didn't ask her for extra. He asked her for what felt like her last. What felt like her last is what God said, now make. But God, I have enough for my son and I to eat and then die. Oh, but don't you know that I can give you more? But Pastor Donnie, I took this doctor's report and what the doctor says, I believe. I'm not saying doctors don't have a knowledge, but God has a greater knowledge. Pastor Donnie, I have a hard time putting in my offering because I don't have enough to eat. And I think I could buy my kids shoes before I tithe. Yeah, but guess what? You could try to buy those shoes, but if you tithe, God can give you those shoes and a steak and much more. Now, can I be honest with you? There was a season in my life where tithing was hard. Not as a pastor, because I've learned to discipline myself, but there was a season where it was hard. It was like, okay, I have enough money to do this. I could pay my car payment. I could pay the insurance. And the kids were little at the time, so I got enough for formula. Now I wouldn't even want to imagine that. But I got enough for formula, and I got enough to feed the kids. But I'm in a hard place, God. So I think if I hold this is wrong. I'm telling on myself tonight. Please don't judge me, because you've all done this before. If I hold on to this, then I can go buy this for my kids. Here's what I realized. When I held on to it, that became cursed. And not only did I have no money to buy stuff for my kids, that's when I lost the transmission in my car. That's when other things started going wrong. That's when our marriage started getting crazy. That's where the kids started going a little crazy. That's where things started happening. Why? Because we stopped being obedient to what God was asking. Yeah. And we weren't willing to release because we were afraid to release. Because we were just holding on to what I have. Here's what I've noticed now. Can I be honest with you? Watch this. Listen, get this. Here's what I've noticed now about this. And I don't do it for this reason, but here's what I've noticed. Generosity brings God's blessings. Now, I know right away, guys, you're thinking, well, I've been giving, I've been tithing, and I've been sowing money into the house, but I'm not seeing checks in the mail. I'm not seeing gifts and surprises. I'm not seeing bills paid off. I'm not seeing bills decrease. I'm seeing more. So how does this stuff work? Doesn't mean financially, come on. Other things are taking place in your life, and you're like, wow, I didn't see this. Like, I didn't realize this was taking place. Like, I didn't realize my kids are being blessed when I wasn't blessed their age. Come on. I didn't realize they're walking into a house that's given to them when we've worked hard to get a house and still working to get a house. But yet you get one. Yeah, well, you're so. You may not see that, but your kids may see it. Or your grandkids may see it. But you got to start somewhere. You can't hold on to everything and you gotta be willing to release. She could have held on to the last of it, but here's the thing, if she did, I believe she wouldn't have received what she was supposed to receive. Which was what? An overflow. Which was a blessing. Because the word of God said what? It continued to come. It continued to pour. It continued to show up. Why? Because she gave the little that she had and she was willing to release it and say, God, I'm releasing it to you and you do what you got to do with it. In other words, he multiplied it. And I challenge you to release what God is asking you to release. Here's the thing. Let it release and watch God multiply it. Watch God move in your heart. Watch God move in your business. Watch God move in your relationships. Watch God move. Listen, I'm going to say it again. God didn't ask her for the extra. He asked her for when she felt like her last. He's not waiting for you to have more money. He's not waiting for you to have more time. He's not waiting for you to be ready. Here's the deal. You'll never be ready. You'll never have more money. Matter of fact, let me just say it like this. I'll serve when I have more time. Listen, you will never serve because you'll always find something to do with your time unless you prioritize it. I'll give when I have more. Oh, let me just say something to this. You think you're going to give when you have more if you can't give when you have little? Well, Pastor, if I have more money, guess what? I can give more. No, you can buy more stuff. And as you buy more stuff, guess what happens? You buy more, and you buy more, and you buy more, and then you realize, oh, I don't have nothing to give. So if you can't start now and release now, don't expect for what God wants to increase. Business owners, if you're doing things that are unjust, change it and do it just. Here's why. God can move when it's just. When it's unjust, you're locked. He's not moving. You're staying stuck. I'll step out when I feel ready. Oh, I love this one. Pastor, I have a call to ministry. When I was a youth pastor for a long time, very long time, I'd hear this a lot. Pastor, I'm going to step out when I'm ready, and I'll tell you when I'm ready. You ain't ever going to be ready. Can I be honest with you? You will not be ready. I remember the first time I was asked to preach, and this was back when Eddie Elguera and Donna were here, and Richard and Michelle were here. This is a long time ago. And I said, when I'm ready, I'll let you know. And I realized something. I ain't never going to be ready. And then one day I said, okay, I'm ready. But I wish I would have said it a long time before when I said I was ready. If you're waiting for that, you're never going to be ready. You just need to step out. God, I'll release it when I'm ready. No, you won't. Because if you're not ready to release it now, you're not going to be ready later. Can I be honest with you? Can I be 100% real with you tonight? Is that okay? Just say, yeah, it's okay. Wave at me or something. Okay, your life. All right, gotcha. Here's the thing. If you're not ready to release it now, you ain't never going to release it. Here's the thing. If God is telling you to release something in your life, if God is telling you to release something and you're not doing it now, what makes you think you're going to do it a year from now? What makes you think you're going to do it 6 months from now? Well, Pastor, I need some more time to think about it. No, what's going to happen is the time that you use to think about it, the devil's going to play tricks with your mind and think of all kinds of other ways that you don't need to release and hold on to so your life can become a disaster instead of being blessed. So are you ready to release tonight what God's telling you to release? I love this. There's a great woman of God, Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian woman whose life became a powerful testimony of faith, courage, and forgiveness. During World War II, Corrie and her family secretly hid the Jewish people in their home in the Netherlands to protect them from the Nazis. Eventually, they were discovered and arrested. She was sent to a concentration camp where she endured extreme suffering. Her sister, Betsy, died there. But what makes this story so impactful wasn't just her survival. It was what she did after. After the war, she traveled the world preaching about Jesus. She shared messages of forgiveness, even toward her former captors. She wrote a famous book. If you haven't read this book, you need to get this book. It's called The Hidden Place. Why is this so important? Here's why. She had nothing left, and she was empty, and still chose obedience and faith, and saw God use her life to global impact. There's your increase. She didn't wait until she had more. She released what she had, and God turned it into something that reached the world. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight, God can release what you have and multiply what you have. Matter of fact, I love what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide an increase. Say increase. Come on, say increase. An increase in your resources, and then produce a great harvest of generosity. God is the one who gives seed to the sower, and he's the one who brings what? Increase. Which leads me to my next one tonight, and this is going to be a very hard one and challenging one. It's obedience will always feel uncomfortable. Think about that statement for a minute. Obedience will always feel what? Say it, feel what? Everybody say it. Feel what? How many would agree with me that obedience feels uncomfortable? Yeah? Or am I the only person? How many out there say, I feel obedience is uncomfortable? Check this out, 1 Kings 17, verse 13. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. But make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. Think about it. Little uncomfortable. Little uncomfortable. Why am I going to make something for you and not my kid and myself? That's a little uncomfortable. Could I ask this? How many times have God asked you to do something that you're uncomfortable about doing? How many times has God spoke to you and said, hey, that coworker of yours, I want you to go share Jesus with them. And you're uncomfortable doing what God asked. How many times have you maybe been in a restaurant or a different place and you're eating your food and God speaks to you about, hey, let me talk to this waitress or this waiter and let me just share faith with them? How many know that that can feel uncomfortable at times? Obedience is not comfortable. Matter of fact, I've never felt comfortable in obedience. But here's what I do know. When I do be obedient, God shows up. God didn't say, I'm waiting for you to be comfortable and then you can go do this. No. God said, you do this because I'm asking you to do this. You go because I'm telling you to go. You say because I'm telling you to say. Like, I need you to be obedient to what God is asking you, because God is telling you tonight to release some things in your life, release some things in your hand so that God can bring the increase, but you got to be obedient to receive the increase. Like obedience equals success, you got to be obedient as well as receive the increase. And when the increase comes, guess what? More success comes in God's kingdom. God can do more. God can do more with your life. Listen, I'm a firm believer of this, and maybe you're not, and this is not a theological statement, but I'm a firm believer when God asks me to do something and I do it, God asks me to do more. But when God asks me to do something and I don't do it, time after time, I realize God's kind of backed off a little bit and said, oh, you can figure it out. So I want to stay obedient to what God has asked. Now, I'm not going to get up and be like, oh, this is just so easy, guys. Every time God says, no, there's a little bit of kick, there's a little bit of scream, there's like, I don't know. But I do know when you walk in it, God does show up. How many believe that tonight, that God will show up when you're in obedience? Obedience doesn't usually feel easy. I think it may be fair to say it like this. It never feels easy. It doesn't always feel logical. It doesn't always feel comfortable. It doesn't always feel convenient or safe at times. But here's what I know. God will often ask you for obedience in the exact place where it feels most uncomfortable to release. Let me say it again. God will often ask for obedience in the exact place where it feels most uncomfortable to release. Think about it. What place is most uncomfortable for you right now? And God's saying, I need you to be obedient in. It could be as simple as get up at 5 in the morning and pray. It could be as simple as don't binge watch TV all night. It could be as simple as, hey, you're being disobedient. I told you to go sign up for Bible college because I want to give you more knowledge. It could be, hey, I spoke to you about going to Breaking Free and you've resisted because you want to do it your way. It could be as easy as, I just can't. You can't, or you won't. Because you could change that can't into I can. But if you won't, that's an attitude that you have. And God's saying, just release what I've been asking to release so I could pour in the increase that I've been wanting to pour in to your life. Here's a great, let me show you this by a great real life story of a great man named George Mueller. He ran orphanages in England and he made decisions that often put him in a very uncomfortable situation. Here's what he did. He refused to ask people for money. He only prayed and trusted God to provide. And there were days when the tables were empty, the children were waiting for food, and there was nothing in the kitchen. But Mueller would still tell the children and sit down with them and pray. From the outside, that would look crazy. You would be like, hey, if you need some money, I need help, right? This guy says, no, I'm not asking anyone for money. I'm asking God, and I'm trusting God to provide. And here's what happens. Watch this. Time after time after time, even though it felt uncomfortable, God showed up. Every time they needed food, God provided. Every time they needed something, God provided. Every time they were empty, God provided. Time after time, God provided. And it was always right on time. How many know God knows the time? God ain't never late. He ain't never early. But he's always what? On time. I heard it said like this. Obedience will often put you at the empty table before it shows you a full provision. Exactly what happens in 1 Kings chapter 17. A woman at an empty table, a word that doesn't make sense. In other words, here's what it is. Trust me before you see it. Obey me before it makes sense. And release before you receive. Oh, I don't want to release until I receive what you're not going to get. But if I release before I receive, now I can receive. You tracking with me? You get it? If I release, then guess what? Now I'm able to receive. And so we're wondering sometimes, why am I not seeing what God said he was going to do in my life? Maybe you're not releasing what God wants. And I was challenged with this, church. I was challenged with this. God said, there are some things that I still need you to release in your life. And I said, God, I've released in my future. I released everything to you, my life. I've released this. He goes, there are some things you're holding on to, and I need you to release. So guess what? I've decided I'm going to release these things. Why? Because I need increase in that area. And so I submit this to you guys, and I challenge you with this tonight. Release what God is telling you to release so he can increase you in that area where he wants to give you increase. Here's the truth. Obedience will always stretch your comfort before it shows you your outcome. Obedience will always stretch your comfort before you will see the outcome in it. She had a choice. Protect what was left or trust what God said. Did you know you have a choice too? Protect what you want to protect. Or trust what God is telling you? Because you can protect what you want to protect and not do what God's telling you and not releasing what God's asking you to release. But guess what? The more you protect it, the more you're going to hold on to it. You won't release it. But yet God's saying, stop protecting it. Release it so that I can multiply what I want to do in your life and bring the increase that I want to bring. See, in God's kingdom, it works like this. Holding on doesn't create increase. Let me say it again. I want you to get this. In God's kingdom, holding on doesn't create increase, but watch this. Watch this. Release does. Write this down if you're taking notes. Write this down. You can't hold on to what God is asking you to release and still expect increase. You can't hold on to what God is asking you to release and still expect the increase that you want. You got to get to a place and realize in your life you're going to have to release it to receive the increase. And the more you release, the more increase. Release, increase, release, increase, release, increase. I'd rather that than whole decrease, whole decrease, whole decrease. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking the same thing that I was thinking. How am I going to make my gas last with the prices that it is? And trust me, driving back and forth to LA, there's gas involved. But here's the thing, obedience equals success. And releasing my desires, my wants, brings what? Increase. Well, Pastor, I can't go to church because I can't afford gas. Yeah, you can. Release some stuff that you're holding on to. Here's the deal, man. Let's just be honest. Can I talk to you for a moment? Now, hear my heart, church. I'm not correcting anybody here. I want you to get this. But I want you to understand something. I want you to get something. We'll spend more money in and out than we will put in the gas to get to church. We'll go get coffee over and over or go out to eat when we could have put that into something to bring us life. Come on, can I be honest with you for a moment? I know you're looking at me like, Pastor, can you just shut up? No, I got to tell you this. I got to be honest with you because you're not the only people that struggle with this. Come on. We all struggle in areas of our life. But when you learn to release to what God's telling you to release and do what God says, guess what? You're going to walk in success, and you're going to walk in obedience, and you're going to walk in multiplication and watch God multiply and bring increase in your life. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says like this, and Pastor Dan hit a little bit of it this morning, but it says this: it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went, get this, watch. He went without, say without, knowing where he was going. That's faith. That's obedience. That's Abraham releasing everything that he knew, releasing everything that he had to follow the plan that God had for his life. And we know when he did, look what happened. We're all here. Because he was willing to release and be obedient to what God says. Tonight we're talking about releasing what we have to receive an increase. My last one tonight is this, and I want you to hear this. Write this down. Your release activates heaven's response. I'll say it again. Your release activates heaven's response in your life. What do you mean by that? How does me releasing things activate heaven? Here's how, watch. 1 Kings 17, verse 14 says it like this. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always, say always, be flour and olive oil left. There were sometimes, most of the time, maybe at times. No, what is the word? What is the word? Her release activated heaven's response. For this is what the Lord said, the God of Israel, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain, crops will grow again. Here's what happens. When you walk in obedience, when you release what God is asking you to release, when you get to a place in your life that says, I'm no longer holding on to this anymore, I need to release this. And listen, it could be I need to release some unforgiveness. It could be I need to release my wayward kid. I need to release an ex. It could be I need to release some funds so that I can increase in areas of my life. It can mean anything that you need to release in your life. Time that I'm spending doing other things instead of time that I'm spending with God. Here's what happens. When she obeys and she releases, and she makes that crate first before feeding herself and her son. When she obeyed and made it first, here's what happens. Watch this. The moment she released what was in her hand, God released what he promised. How many want God's promises in here? How many want God's increase in here? How many can honestly say to yourself right now that there are things that you need to release in order to receive increase? Just wave at me if that's you. How many of you? That's almost most of us in here. What is it that we can release in order to increase? What is God speaking to you about right now, this moment? What is God telling you right now? What do I need to release? What am I holding on to? What is it that God's showing you? What is it God's been asking for a long time and you haven't been obedient to what God is asking, and tonight you'd make the decision to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to what God asked me to do. What is it, church? What is it tonight? Don't miss this moment. Heaven didn't respond to her lack. Heaven responded to her what? Obedience. And the minute she released, the response came. I'm going to say it again, because, and I said it earlier, but I want you to get this. In God's kingdom, what you hold stays the same. But what you release becomes increased. What you hold stays the same. But what you release comes increase. I just want to take a moment real quick. I know it's quiet and that's good. But I feel like God is speaking to someone in this room right now. Actually speaking to some people in this room. And he's showing you what it is that you need to release in order to receive the increase. So I just want you to take this moment. Right where you're at, right in your seat, right where you're at, just feel the presence of God and write down what it is that God's showing you right now. What is it that I need to release? A few moments ago, I said, how many of you have something in here you know you need to release so you can receive increase? Almost every hand was up in this place. So what is it tonight that God's asking you to release? What is it tonight that God's asking you to lay down? What is it tonight? Just take a moment, write it down. There's a sweet presence of God in this room right now. And here's what I want to do is this. Is if you tonight, you wrote something, or you're writing something, I want you to come up to this altar right here. Bring your paper, bring your pen, just come up to the altar right now. Your phone, come up to the altar and just write it. Come up, there's a presence of God. If that's you tonight, say, you know what, I want to release. Just come out of your chair right now and just work your way up. Right here to the front. This is just you saying, hey, I want to release this to God. Come on up. If that's you tonight, just come on up. Just take that bold step. Just come up and give it to God right here at the altar. Just say, God, here I am. I'm releasing it tonight. I'm releasing it. I want to let it go tonight. Come on up if that's you tonight. I just want to release it. God, I want to let it go. I want to release it tonight. I want the increase, God. That's you, just come up. They're coming. Just between you and God. You just get on your knees before God. You can stand. However you want to do it, just say, God, I want to release this because I don't want to hold this anymore because I want to receive increase in my life. That's you tonight. Just come on up to the altar. Take that bold step. I believe God wants to move right now. Right now. Right in this moment, God wants to move. Let it out. God, here it is. I'm releasing this tonight. Holding it too long, God. I'm releasing it to you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Move, Jesus. Thank you. Just come on up to the altar if that's you. Nothing strange didn't happen, nothing weird. This is just you and God. I felt God say this, bring him to my altar. so they could release it and leave it here tonight. If that's you, just get out of your seat right now. Come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Release it tonight, brother. God's doing something right now. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to release, guys. If you had a cry, let it out. Let it out tonight. He loves you that much. God loves you that much. God, if you were the only person he died for, he would. He loves you that much. While they're spending time with the Lord, we're going to let them spend time with the Lord. But I want to talk to some of you that are out there tonight. Maybe tonight you walked into the church service not expecting anything, but just going to church and showing up. But let me ask you this question tonight. What if tonight you left here and you took your last breath? Would you wake up in heaven or would you wake up in hell? Ask yourself this question tonight. All over this room, just begin to evaluate and ask yourself this question. If tonight was my last night, my last breath here on earth, where would I be? Would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? A lot of times we're told because we're good people, we're going to go to heaven. Being good does not get you into heaven. A lot of times we're told, oh, if we go to church, we're going to go to heaven. Listen, if it was that easy, their heaven's going to be full of a lot of people because everybody would go to church to get into heaven, but it's not that easy. And nowhere in the Word of God is saying because you go to church, you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere. So I had to be honest with you and be real with you and tell you the truth tonight. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not stand before him and hear, well done. Because you will not make it into heaven. What you will hear is, depart from me, I never knew who you were. Wouldn't that be terrifying words? To walk out of here, take our last breath, die, and stand before the king and him say, depart from me, I never knew who you were. And cast you into the lake of fire for eternity. Well, I thought God was a good God. Yes, he is a great God. But God also gives you a free will choice whether you want to serve him or whether you don't. He doesn't force nobody. It's a choice that he allows you to make. So to serve him and you say, yes, I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus, or no, I don't. Those who say yes will stand before him and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But those who say no will hear, depart from me, I never knew who you were. Well, Pastor, I'll wait until later on in my life. Listen, there may not be a later on in life. Not one of us, including myself, is promised tomorrow, but we're here today and we exist right now. And sometimes we got to release our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own ways in order to receive God's ways and thoughts in our life. And so maybe that's you tonight, and you're saying, you know what? I got to release all these things so I can give my heart to Jesus and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And not hear, depart from me, I never knew who you were. So in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go like this, 1, 2, 3, bang, just like this. When you hear me go 1, 2, 3, bang, like that, all I want you to do all over this room is just pop your hand up. Wait a minute, Pastor. I was cool till you said raise my hand. Because if I raise my hand, I might be embarrassed. Listen, I'd rather be embarrassed for a moment than spend my whole life and hell for eternity. So my question to you tonight is this: for those who've never given their heart and their life to Jesus, are you ready to release what you're holding on to receive God and Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Who should do this tonight if you've been running from God instead of to God? Who else should do this tonight if you've never given Jesus your whole life and your whole heart? Tonight is your night of salvation. Who else should do this if you've been lukewarm, little in, a little out? Token prayer here and there, not fully sold out, not full-heartedly for God. Bible says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. If I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you're not going to make it. So tonight is your night. All over this room. If that's you tonight, you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. Or Pastor, I've been lukewarm and I want to rededicate my life. All over this room, all I want you to do is slip your hand up. That's it. On three. One, two, three, bang. Anybody in this room? If that's you, just put your hand up all over this place. Put your hands up. I see you. One, two, three, four, five, six. Any more? Six wise people. Is there any more? Just raise your hand right where you're at. I think I see some people back there. Isaac, are those people back there? Okay, got you. Seven, eight. I got you. I see you. Any more? Just pop your hand up all over this room. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you, but this is between you and God tonight. Is there any more in this place tonight that says, I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus? If that's you, just raise your hand. I got you three already. Thank you. Is that a hand over there? I got you nine. I got you, bud. I got you 10. I got you. Is there any more? 11. I got you. Is there any more? 11 wise people. Is there any more? 12, I got you. Is there any more? Anyone up here at the altar that needs to give their heart and life to Jesus? Anyone? So far, 12. Is that you? Just raise your hand. Any more? I want to make sure I give everybody this opportunity. It's 12 wise people. Is there any more tonight? If that's you, you say, Pastor, that's me. Slip your hand up right now, right where you're at. Now, here's what I'm going to ask. All 12 of you, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Talking about releasing. Talking about be obedient. I'm going to ask all 12 of you to stand to your feet right now where you're at. And I want you to work your way forward, because here's why. I want to pray with you and I want to meet you right here at the front. Come on, if that's you tonight, just come forward. And the church is going to cheer for you as you come forward. Come on, if that's you tonight. Come on. That's you. If you raise your hand, say, that's me. I want to come. Come forward. Come forward tonight. Come forward tonight if that's you. Come on. Give them a hand as they come. Come on, just come down. Just come on down. Come on down. Come on, church. We can do better than that. Come on. They're taking a step of faith. They're taking a step. Coming out. Come on down. Nudge your neighbor and say, hey, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up if that's you. Give it a few more moments. If that's you, you said, I'm ready to get right with Jesus tonight. Come on up. That's you tonight. That's you tonight. Just come on up. Come on up. All right. That's you. Just come forward. Okay. Well, for those who didn't come, that's okay. Here's what we're going to do is this, is we're going to say a prayer. And what we're going to do now is we're going to invite Jesus into our heart. We're going to make him Lord of our life. We're going to release all the things that we had in our life before, and we're going to ask God to renew and bring increase in our life right now. The day starts now. So for all those in this room today who said, I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus, and everybody in here is going to join in with you, is I want you to repeat these words after me. Father God, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart and my life to you. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Tonight, I repent, and I turn away from hell, and I turn towards heaven. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me, help me live my life the way God wants me to live. in complete obedience. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Hey, listen, right over here is my friend, Pastor Joel. If you were the one tonight that said you wanted to give your heart and life to Jesus, then here's what I'd like for you to do, is just take a turn. He's waving at you right now. He wants to meet with you. He wants to give you a friend. Here's why. When you give your life to Jesus, you're going to wake up tomorrow, you're going to look the same, you're going to feel the same, you're going to smell the same, but yet you need to know something, that God has a transformation in your heart. You're changed. And what we want to do here at The Rock is, here's what we like to do. We like to give you a faith-filled friend. Who's that? Someone to come alongside of you with some materials and go over some basic things in the Word of God, answer any questions that you might have, pray with you when you need prayer, and just disciple you, because here's why. If we don't disciple you, then somebody in the world is going to grab a hold of you. And so it's important, because the Word of God said, go and make disciples. So our mandate is disciple you, so one day, a year from now, or even sooner, you can disciple somebody. Remember what I said about obedience? When you're obedient, others become obedient. Mark my words, you're going to be obedient to what God says, and people around you who've doubted you is going to ask, what's different? And you're going to say, I gave my life and heart to Jesus. And when you do, watch what happens. A year from now, give this church, give Jesus 1 year of your life. And on April 26th of 2027, when you look back, you're going to be like, wow, look what God did. All right, so here's what I'd like you to take your turn with Pastor Joel. It'll take you just a few moments. Right after that, he'll dismiss you guys. And thank you guys. You guys are wonderful. Go ahead, just follow Pastor Joel. That's you tonight. God bless you tonight. All right. Well, how many know God is good? How many know God brings increase when we what? When we release, God brings what? All right, let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for tonight, God. Lord, I thank you for your word, God. God, I pray, Lord, that your word, God, would go forth tonight, God. I pray, God, they would wake up, God, remembering what you spoke to them, God, throughout this whole weekend, Lord, God. I thank you, God, for your people, God. I pray a blessing over their life, God. I pray this, God, that everything, God, their hands touch would prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, not a tiny whisper, but a great big shout, we say that the Alien Empire shall be saved.
Hey, what an amazing time we had in service today. If you need prayer, our prayer teams are at the altar right now, and they would love to pray for you. They'd love to be there for you with whatever you need prayer for. Also, in the inner foyer, we have prayer request sheets that you can fill out, and you can drop them in the prayer box, and our team will get to it this week, and we will be lifting you up in prayer. Also, if you received salvation, but you didn't get a chance to go back to the altar care room, please scan the QR code, and that will give you more information on what to do now that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Also, in the QR code, you can scan it for any upcoming dates and events that we have on our calendar. Hey, family, we had an awesome time in service. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.